plate a potential nugget.
I want to talk about how Narasimha Rao picked his teams.
Yeah.
And again, clearly you spend a lot of time in the book talking about the diversity of people that he had on his team.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about how Rao mastered sort of this notion of getting the right team to work with him.
Well, I think the first most important quality that Narasimha Rao brought to team building and team choosing was he was personally not an insecure person. That's really, really important. Now, there's a law in India, I think Arun Shori told me it was called the Indresan Law, named after this IIT professor, saying that in India, first-rate people hire first-rate people, second-rate people hire third-rate people, right, and so on. Because second-rate people are also insecure about their abilities. So they don't want to hire someone who is first-rate, right? And then in India, over time, you end up with ninth-rate people, right? So that's how, institutional mediocrity takes place in India. Narasimha Rao was a first-rate guy, right? So when it came to, for example, foreign policy, he knew it really well. You know, he had academic friends in New York University who would send him the latest edition of top academic articles, right? He knew the history of China. He spoke Spanish. He knew Persian. He knew Urdu. And he was the rank one in Persian and Urdu in Nizam's state, in Nizam's Hyderabad. And he could talk to the Pakistani president in Urdu. And most Pakistanis said that Narasimha Rao Urdu was better. You know, so he was extremely confident. So he was not insecure in selecting diplomats who were very good, right? He also was confident enough that when he didn't know something, he didn't pretend to know it. He knew nothing about economics. He had an instinct, but he didn't know anything about economics. So he had the confidence to first ask for the hiring of I.G. Patel, former RBI governor who was at the time London School of Economics head. I.G. Patel says no, arguably the most famous no in Indian history, saying that, look, I have a mother in Baroda, she's old, I have to take care of her. So then he asks P.C. Alexander, who should I select? And P.C. Alexander said, look, there's this guy called Manmohan Singh, right? And, he says that, fine, get Manmohan Singh. He seems to me the man who has the ideas that will get us out of this hole. He didn't know anything about economics, right? Manmohan Singh didn't know that. And he was not insecure that Manmohan Singh knew more economics than he did, right? He constantly consulted R. Venkatraman, who was the president at the time, a former finance minister, saying that, look, help me out, And he understood very clearly that, look, the ideas that Manmohan Singh, I.G. Patel are talking about are ideas that we need to implement in India. But those ideas have been going around in India for decades. My job is to get it politically off the ground. He understood that very clearly. So I think that the core ability to not be insecure meant that he could hire first-rate talent around him, right? He had no problem with people walking into an office and saying, Mr. Rao, I completely disagree with you. Because he was confident, right? He was not only a scholar, a district magistrate called him up and told him something, he could tell a district magistrate what to do because he knew districts better than district magistrate very often, right? So he was not afraid of talent. I think that is very important. In the Indian context, it's very rare, very, very rare. Second is he had no personal friends. As I told you, he was not a faction leader. Dr. Manmohan Singh, who I interviewed for this book, likes Narasimha Rao, but he wasn't a crony of Narasimha Rao at all, right? He didn't know Narasimha Rao very well before he became prime minister. So second quality, Narasimha Rao was not looking for chamchas. He was not looking for yes men. He was not looking for people who would enhance his power, right? He was looking for people who would get the job done. I think that's the second very, very rare quality, especially in the Indian context. Third is Narasimha Rao had this you can call it ancient Indian philosophy, Hindu philosophy, you can call it what you want. That all parts have to be represented, right? That change and continuity are two sides of the same coin. Yes, capitalism is good, but socialism is good too, right? So it's like, it's a classic Indian trait, right? Philosophically you call it the trait of a Gujju Thali, right? Everything is there. So Narasimha Rao's cabinet was a little like a Gujarati Thali. There was a little bit of sweet. There was a little bit of sour, there was a little bit of papad, there was everything, right? So in his economic ministries, he had people like Manmohan Singh, Montek Singh Ahluwalia, who are quote-unquote free marketeers and right-wing. But running his welfare schemes were socialists like K.R. Venugopal and B.N. Yugandhar. Incidentally, the father and father-in-law of Satya Nadala, who runs Microsoft. So he had leftists, he had right-wing people, he got along very well with scheduled castes, he got along very well with Brahmins, he would speak to Sharad Pawar in Marathi, You know, he would speak to S.B. Chavan in Marathi and Telugu. You know, he would speak to someone else in clipped English. You know, he would speak to Salman Haider, his foreign secretary for a while, in clipped Urdu. And Salman Haider told me that, you know, his Urdu was the kind of Urdu spoken in those, you know, aristocratic Muslim households in Uttar Pradesh, right?
Wow.
So that was his ability to build teams, that he, you know, he realized that you need all kinds make a team. He wasn't looking for yes men at all. And he was confident enough in his own ability that he was never insecure when a team member outshone him or knew more about a particular subject than he did. And I think that is very, very rare.
The first thing that struck me here was the point Vinay makes about Narasimha Rao being extremely aware about what he knew and what he didn't know. I'm reminded of the phrase anti-knowledge coined by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. He says that knowing what we don't know is almost as important as knowing what we know, especially in a world that's evolving quickly and a lot is going outside the cocoon we operate in. The second is a point around diversity of thought in a team. I find that effective leaders are able to not just hire good talent to fill various posts, but are also able to think about portfolio of talent in the top team across various dimensions: gender, educational background, prior work experience, language, cultures, and so on. No silver bullet here, but bearing in mind that there's a strong business case to having a talented, well-diversified team is a good place to start. Thank you for listening. If you're new to the podcast and want to get a sense of the nature of the content that's covered, you might want to go to YouTube and type Play to Potential Highlights from 2017. There, I've tried to capture the key takeaways from my various conversations last year with leaders across disciplines. If you want to listen offline, say during a car ride home or during airplane travel, you could also access the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Savan, and several other podcast apps. In fact, Google has also recently launched an app for podcast listening on Android platforms. If you went to playtopotential.com, you could also have the opportunity to listen to multiple voices curated by topic. To give you a sense, one of the playlists is Excellence. Accomplished individuals talk about how they push themselves to the top of their respective fields. If you find the content purposeful, please go to iTunes, rate the show, and share a review. It will help others discover it. Thank you for listening.